You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
First guest coming up very shortly, and they are currently talking to us all the way from bloody Paris, France. We have Miles Sutton from Welcomer coming through to talk about the band's new song, Nothing of You Remaining. Morena, Miles, how are you?
Big.
Oh, sorry, you cut out there. What'd you say, sorry?
Oh, I just said kia ora, good morning, good evening, how's it going?
It's going so good, especially since off air I discovered that you're a Magic the Gathering player. That is fantastic. How long have you been playing Magic the Gathering?
Thanks for broadcasting that.
Sorry.
No, that's fine.
Gonna out you.
I should send you, I've got like a playlist of like emo songs that mention Magic the Gathering, which I should flick you after.
Please
this.
Do, please email me, yep.
You got like Caroline Polachek on there, Magic the Gathering player, the Mountain Goats, obviously, Wild Pink. I don't know if you know that band. But to answer your question, not that long in the scheme of things. I'm definitely not an old head. Maybe like a year or so. A music friend of mine, Daniel of Sheepdog and Wolf, got me into it when we were traveling around Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like a really fun thing to do on like trains and so on.
Yeah.
And
I bet.
Yeah, and I just kind of carried on from there.
Nice. It's such a fun, it's an endlessly fun game. Big ups to Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of funny, like, I was never really like a fantasy person growing up. And it's really scratching like an itch for me that I didn't know I had.
I totally understand. Were you more of a sci-fi kid? Or like action kid?
I was just...
Or like music.
I was more of like a, what was I as a kid? I was more just like a straight nerd. Like I just loved like history and poetry and stuff. Mm. Like just like even worse. Like I was the dorkiest of them all.
The armchair historian, that kind of vibe.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. As we alluded to before, you are currently in Paris, France. How is France treating you? You said you've been there for about 6 months before.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's really cool. What's there to say, really? Like,
does it smell funny?
It's what's that? Sorry,
does it smell funny?
It doesn't smell funny, actually. It smells pretty good.
Okay, because I've heard it's kind of a dirty city, but
right. I guess no. Walking around doesn't really strike me as a particularly dirty city.
Okay.
And honestly, it's kind of wonderful. It's been really lovely blue skies over the last couple of days,
mm-hmm.
and we're living like. My girlfriend and I have an apartment that is like maybe like 5-10 minutes from, I guess, like the Louvre and the river, and it's gorgeous.
Nice. That's fantastic, man.
Have you been over before?
I've never been to France, no, but I can say I went to Melbourne about a month ago. God, a month already, and some areas of Melbourne smelt like poo. I'm not gonna lie. Some areas, just randomly, you just get a whiff of poo and it'd be horrible. So, like, I feel like even that is a pretty clean city and it can get pretty gross sometimes. I've heard awful things about France. Well, Paris in particular, in terms of cleanliness.
How about Dunedin? How's Dunedin on that scale?
Dunedin's great. Can never get cleaner. It's just fresh lawn trimmings all around the place. What are some of your faves from the Paris scene at the moment? What's the vibe musically?
Musically, is that what you're asking?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's been up? Well, we went to a funny. Do you know what I mean when I say cold wave as a genre?
God, it sounds familiar, but I'm really horrible. I said this yesterday on the program. I'm horrible with identifying genres.
It's totally fine. I feel like it's fun to identify cold wave as a genre because it's one of those particularly genrefied corners of the music universe. If that makes sense, mm-hmm. like I think they celebrate. The tropes of cold wave. It's sort of like a more icy post-punk. The classic setup would be, so like classic bands would be like Black Marble, inspired by like your New Order and so on.
Right.
And the classic setup would be like a bass guitarist and then like a second musician who would play like drum machines and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to this like sick show in Montpellier with some Italian and French cold wave bands, and that was quite fun.
Nice.
I would also give an honorary shout out to my buddy Reese, plays in a band here called Lean Rouge, and That's like emo, punk, and yeah. So I guess those, there are a few names for you there. I think the Italian Cold Wave band is called Infesta. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really interesting.
Man, I'll have to give a listen to some Cold Wave bands after the program. Do my research.
It's fun.
Now, it's been about 3 years since the band last put out a tune. How does it feel to be back with the new song?
It feels great. It feels really cool. It's funny, like, it's a classic music or musician's sort of curse to be putting out things years between them when you're writing and recording and playing all the time, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for me, it's like, I haven't really felt like I've stopped. It just feels like, oh, yeah, the schedule has lined up and now we're in that sort of cycle again where we're releasing music. But it feels great. It feels really cool. There's always this sort of funny emotional highs and lows of putting out music where you are nervous and then you kind of feel a bit flat and then you kind of feel a bit distant and so on.
Mm-hmm.
I think anyone kind of goes through that. But generally speaking, yeah, really happy.
Nice. I'm glad to hear. I mean, it's a very big thing to do, so it's a lot of emotions involved, no doubt. You've got quite a way with words on this new song. I mean, for me, the line that really struck out to me was, hope is an anchor weighing you down, which is incredibly brutal and dark. I mean, the song is about a breakup of and you know, love of some sorts. Was there anything in particular that inspired that line? Because that is so poetic.
Thanks so much. I think I wanted to write in my mind that line is like a joke.
Mm.
Like, it's like, hope is an anchor, uplift, weighing you down.
It does sound very like, hope is an anchor, weighing you down. It does kind of sound like that.
Yeah.
But it's you know, still really dark and beautiful.
Yeah, and I don't know, I was like toying with like an anchor metaphor and so on, but I think it just fits well with this within the context of the song as well. That sort of it sounds like so dark, so grim, but there's sort of hopelessness that someone can feel when they're like moving out of a relationship. But also in classic Welcome fashion, I wanted to kind of spin it so that it might be a little bit funny at least. But thanks for pointing that out. I appreciate that.
Oh, it's no problem, man. I think it's a real fun line that really is, I don't know, it sticks with you. It really sticks with you. And it does, as you say, kind of reflects that dark detachment that happens after a breakup and you kind of just, I don't know, you just kind of dissociate and, it's not a fun time. So I think you captured that quite well. and then to move on from that line and to the line, now it's weed from a stepdad, head from a friend. catching your breaks wherever you can. Now the vibes oscillate from some sad to funny, as we kind of were talking about. How do you control that to ensure kind of a balance?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think it is a balancing act because you don't want it to just be a gag. Mm. You don't want to write, you know, you don't want to write gags, and you also don't want to. You don't want to like be unbearable to listen, you know, you don't want the listener to find you just absolutely unbearable, unrelenting. I think that for me, it's always trying to strike a human chord. I'm never interested in black and white characters or black and white situations. I'm always trying to ride in the gray, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of trying to reflect that things are often both sad and funny and absurd, and in a lot of ways that's the ladder that we sometimes use to get out of those dark situations. So yeah, and I'm attracted to those sorts of songwriters as well, so those sorts of lyricists, like classic examples of, I don't know, like David Berman or some of those, like some New Zealand records like The Front Lawn and records like those, which I think use humor to even make those sharp emotional contrasts even starker.
Yeah,
but yeah, again, it's another line that's like kind of hitting on that. So it's like an example of two things that you might see as catching a break that are both kind of funny, but also just quite quite grim, quite bleak.
Very. Now that you say David Berman, I'm thinking of a Silver Jews song. I think that they get really dark. They get so dark, and kind of they just brush past it as well, which is hilarious. You're saying that you try and write in the grey. Is that something that you've had to learn, or something that you've kind of just always done?
I think that it has taken practice. I think that when you're a young songwriter, you are reaching for extremes, mm-hmm. and I think that you're afraid of nuance maybe a little bit more. I think you can have a tendency to write often biographically or about characters that are either in the right or in the wrong. And I think as I get older, that interests me less maybe. Mm-hmm. So I suppose in that sense, it's been practice and writing lots and lots of terrible songs to try and get to something that is maybe less terrible. I would say so. I would say that, yeah, practice helps. And also just absorbing influences that, better developed as well.
I totally agree that adding nuance to things like that and writing in the grey is really important if you want to make something that's, I think, very memorable. Like, I'm thinking of... Have you seen the program White Lotus?
Yeah.
Like, those characters are all generally dislikable, but as a friend of mine said last night, like, you can, through the writing of the program and the way it's structured, you can all see how they get to that point and what influences are making them, this, you know, unlikable and so on and so
forth.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I think there's a culture in songwriting of wanting to be likable. Mm. I think in indie rock, for sure. And I think that's a real... I think it's not a particularly exciting place, I think, or interesting place in my view for songwriting to go. I'm much more interested. I when I'm listening to songs, I want to hear something that I'm thinking like, oh, should I be hearing this? You know, something that kind of makes you feel like you're hearing something a little more intimate or revealing or insightful. I'm not particularly interested in like. Black and white characters, as we were saying earlier. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
For sure. And I want to touch on that note of juxtaposition just once more, because the video, I think, kind of represents this contrast as well. But the video itself contains kind of two different tales. There's a band on stage in kind of a 1980s talent show get up, and then there's another person, presumably the person who broke up with someone, kind of going around different nature spots, the camp near a campfire with friends, and they're kind of documenting their experiences. Do you think that's kind of reflective of what we're talking about here, the seriousness of the person who's kind of navigating the world and the silliness of the band on stage looking all goofy?
Yeah, sure. I love that interpretation, and thanks for watching the video.
Of course, lovely
appreciate
video.
That. It's a very thoughtful comment and question. Mm-hmm. I got to give a huge shout out to Taylor Gummish, who directed the video.
Great last name.
I actually didn't have heaps. That's Taylor Gummish, mm-hmm. out of New York. I didn't have heaps to do with the original concept, so it's lovely to hear you synthesizing that with the song so well.
Me and Taylor just locked in. We're thinking the same.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, I was stoked with how it turned out. We filmed that out in Seatoun in Makara, mm-hmm. and got a bunch of friends, as you say, to film the sections that take place in there. I like how you described that, the 80s town hall.
Kind of like town hall talent show kind of aesthetic, yeah.
Yeah, totally. Like, with the kind of like silvery, shimmery backdrop.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm really stoked with that, and I really am enjoying people's different interpretations of that. Our friends Emily and Annabelle starring in, I guess, as you mentioned, like the beach and the bonfire scenes. Mm-hmm. I think they smashed it as well. And it's really cool because I've never done I've done music videos before. For different projects, but never with NZ On Air funding for one where I was the main songwriter. Mm-hmm. And It was just really awesome to do that and have, you know, nice camera equipment and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if you're listening to this and you've, like us, and had heaps of rejections from NZ on Air, hang
just
in there.
Just keep doing it. Just keep swimming.
Just keep doing it, because it's super fun when it works out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's you can tell there's like a really decent production value behind it, which is fantastic. I think that's all the time we have here on the program. Thank you so much for coming on the program. I just want to know a couple more things. Will you be coming back for a tour if there's any kind of, you know, big project to be released from Welcomer this year? And will there be a project to be released by Welcomer this year?
Yeah, there'll be more music. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're listening and this sounds like something you might be interested in, definitely you can find us in all the regular places on Instagram and Spotify or whatever, Bandcamp.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to play more shows with the gang. If any of my bandmates are listening, miss you guys. So yeah, keep an eye out, follow us on all the different things, tell a billion friends about it.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully see you soon.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see you soon when more tracks come out. Thank you for coming on the program, Miles. Enjoy France.
Kia ora.
Alright folks, that was Miles Sutton from the band Welcomer. We're talking about their new track, Nothing of You Remaining, which we're going to play for you right now at 9:45. We'll have some clowning around. You're listening to the Edu Breakfast program on Radio 1. Here's Welcomer, Ka Kite.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.